This is Desiring God Behind the Blog, David Mathis with Tony Renke and Jonathan Parnell. And we got a lot of good things to talk about over the last 2 or 3 weeks here at Desiring God, what's been going on with the blog. Let's jump in right away with Tony Renke. Tony, we've been seeing some videos that are coming out of Philly. Tell us the background on those and give us a little overview on some of that content.
Yeah, this summer I flew out to Philadelphia to spend some time at the CCEF building near the campus of Westminster Seminary. And spend some time with David Powelson and Ed Welch and Richard Gaffin. And took 3 hours, did 3 one-hour interviews with each of these guys. So we started with the Richard Gaffin and talked a lot about the theology of sanctification, different theological principles, Romans 6:10, whose particular passages that really helped to inform the process and the growth in sanctification. And then we talked with David Powelson. Just threw a number of questions at him, very practical questions about sanctification. Is it hard? Is it complex? Is it easy? Is it simple? And how does sanctification change over time as we age? And just a number of different practical questions we threw to David Powelson, and of course in his pastoral and counseling experience and wisdom. He had a lot of great stuff to tell us. We concluded with Ed Welch. Talked with him about some of the subjects that he's particularly gifted in, especially when it comes to depression. He spent a lot of time counseling depressed folks, and that, of course, ties in with the process of sanctification. So he's going to be speaking at the National Conference here in a couple in about a week, and so we wanted to get him on film on some of those topics.
Excellent. This week on the blog, kind of headlining on Monday morning, is the article, Tell Your Coworker the Gospel by Jonathan Parnell. Jonathan, where did that post come from?
Yeah, thanks, David. The post came from really a Bible study that we just started last week, and kind of the first week of the Bible study, we wanted just to clear the air about exactly what is the gospel and talk about it practically, you know, as if how would we share this with a neighbor or with a coworker or someone who just were to ask us to explain in a couple minutes what the gospel is. And it's really helped by chapter four in Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert's book, What is the Mission of the Church? They just kind of lay out the different lens through which the gospel is explained in Scripture. And it's the wide angle and then the zoom lens, which is the same gospel. It's just a little bit of a different vantage point as far as the cosmic effects and also the personal forgiveness of sins, justified in Christ. So I thought, maybe it'd be helpful to turn that into a blog post, and it was a good exercise.
Excellent. One thing we like to do as we lead up to our conferences here is do some content focused on those themes. So with the September 28 to 30 conference just around the corner here on sanctification, we've done some sanctification posts over the last weeks and months. The next conference on the horizon after this one is on the theme, Brothers, We're Still Not Professionals, and it's a call to reclaim the centrality of the supernatural in Christian ministry. That'll be the pastor's conference, God willing, coming up in February. Very excited about that. Hope to have some content, especially for pastors, in the coming weeks and months. But in leading up to this national conference on sanctification, Jonathan, you put together a post called You Need to Change. Oh. About sanctification. Where did that one come from? That was a really helpful post.
Yeah, thanks for asking, David. I was thinking about, you know, sanctification, the theological term, the word, oftentimes it can be criticized, or the feedback we get is that it's so abstract. It's a long word, it's a big word, and we have to kind of try to nail down what is it really about. And in thinking about that, I realized that there's something about the abstractness of sanctification that we can be comfortable with, because as long as it's abstract and kind of out there, then it doesn't really bring a change into our everyday. We can kind of keep it kind of, you know, nebulous and floating out in the clouds. But when we really bring it down and we start talking particulars, and we start talking the way the Bible talks and the way Paul talks about fruit of the Spirit and things like that, and the way he instructs the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3 that I mentioned in the post, it gets much more personal. Mm-hmm. And you start looking at those particulars and you realize, I need to change. Like, I don't do these things. I need to do these things. And this is fitting with the gospel. And I just wanted to kind of digest that myself and think about those things, and thinking about how we can fall into these ruts, you know, kind of Christian lingo. We can fall into these ruts and say things like, you know, God, take my life, take all of me. And that can actually be easier than saying things like, you know, take my cash or something really concrete. Mm-hmm. And so just being challenged by that myself and wanting to try to write something to exhort our readers to think about those things.
It can be easy to think about sanctification in the theological and the theoretical, and then to have it be tethered to our everyday life in terms of specific attitudes and interactions and responses that need to change, and a specific checkbook with the amount going into it that's going here or there and showing our value and what we treasure. That's so significant. Thank you for the push in that direction and the accountability there as we talk about this theme of sanctification. Tony, you wrote a post called The Beauty of Holiness and the Miracle of Sanctification.
Yeah, this has been several years in the making. I remember sitting in a reading chair out in Maryland reading The Miscellanies by Jonathan Edwards, and he wrote one of his miscellanies was on the beauty of holiness, and he looks at the psalmist who talks about the splendor of God's holiness and how God's holiness and holiness in general should be attractive. It should draw us. I mean, it should be this beautiful thing, this splendor. And what Edwards picks up on there is that the work of conversion, the work of change in our heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, is coming to have this awareness and this awakening, so to speak, of the beauty of holiness. And that really, I mean, that gets into sanctification. Sanctification is growing in our appreciation and our love for the holiness of God. It's not just about stopping, you know, from doing things. It's not about just avoiding worldliness. It is about pursuing what is beautiful. And when we have eyes to see God's holiness for what it really is, it's attractive. And so the process of sanctification is becoming more aware of and more appreciative of God's beauty and His holiness. And there's actually been several posts recently. Michael Reeves, I kind of brought into the conversation. He's got some things to say on that when he wraps it into the nature of the Trinity. So that's been a theme for me on the blog of late.
And in the post on our highest holiness, you made the connection between holiness of God and Christology, the holiness of Jesus.
That's right. Kevin DeYoung makes that point very clearly in, I think it's chapter 3 of The Whole in Our Holiness, that, you know, when we forget the Ten Commandments, when we forget the Proverbs, when we're in a situation where we need to, you know, act in a way that honors the Lord, and we forget, you know, passages escape our mind, in that moment we can think back to the name of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ and His work and His actions and His example and be reminded of what holiness looks like.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Which is what prompted me to ask, how do you think about holiness if Jesus is the perfect model of divine holiness in human form and Jesus spent time with tax collectors and sinners? Mm-hmm. So in a post called True Holiness Befriends Sinners, tried to push on that some and reflect on a little bit and think about how for the Christian, there's a sense in which we are crucified to the world and then raised to new life to go back in and be a witness for Jesus, that what holiness produces in the Christian is not the mere holy huddle, but a sense of fresh and new and intentional engagement for the sake of the gospel and for the good of others, even with some very shady, dark, difficult mm-hmm. people.
That's right. Yeah. I think one of the things that really go behind the blog is how kind of our room is set up, where our you know, where we mm-hmm. write and think together. It's kind of the you know, we're in the different corners. You got Tony over here, and then David and I are across from each other, and you have Goggin, who holds everything together on the back end,
right.
And Marshall Siegel, who's in a few days of the week. And a lot of times, this subject has come up a lot. You know, mm-hmm. what is holiness? And we really press each other. And so these posts, both from you, Tony, and then from you, David, have kind of grown out of our own together thinking through this
right.
and wanting to have clarity. And so it's been kind of neat what really is behind those posts, and I feel like I've been helped by them, just the talking about it and then seeing the posts that have come out of those things. So I'm glad
very excited about this conference theme. And sanctification, a mentor once said that if you have 20 Christians in a room, you're going to have 20 views on sanctification. We just aren't pressing down to the details because it so impacts our everyday life
right.
and it gets into personality and bends and all that kind of thing. And so there's so much to discuss on the topic of sanctification. Mm-hmm. And we've been playing that out in our content team room here the last few months. And and really pumped to see it culminate now in the conference here coming up in a week and a half. Right. So we've been stirring in these questions. We've been having these conversations, and encourage you to do that as well as you're heading toward a conference. You know, have conversation ahead of time. You know, bring your list of questions. Be ruminating over these things and able to engage the content eagerly as the conference unfolds.
That's right.
We did have a friend. You mentioned Kevin DeYoung. Yeah. He was here just recently, and three of us took in a Twins game with him and a few others. And Tony, you did some interviews with Kevin in the studio. Those will be coming later this week.
Yeah, hopefully beginning Wednesday or Thursday, we'll do a series of video excerpts from the interview that we did
Excellent.
With him.
Related to his book, A Hole in Our The Hole in Our Holiness.
Right.
Jonathan, tell us a story about the pro-life post that came out of that interaction with Kevin.
Yeah, so Kevin was here for the shoot that Tuesday afternoon. And usually when there's a shoot, we all kind of sit in and Tony was actually leading the interview, so I was kind of doing some of the taking the notes and helping out with the production of it, and so just kind of hanging out after the interview. And we needed a post that night. We try to do 20 posts a week, which is usually three a day and then a few on the weekends. And normally there's way more posts, many more posts we could do, and we have to kind of weed it out and do the top 20 that we can find. And sometimes there's openings that come up unexpectedly. And that was a day where I had a post planned for that night, and something happened, something didn't come together, so I had to postpone it, so we had an opening. And Tuesday's a pretty big day, pretty high traffic day on the web, and so I needed a 7 p.m. post, and Kevin was here, and I just asked him, do you got a blog post we can maybe? Because he blogs pretty consistently at the Gospel Coalition, so I just mentioned to him, not expecting him to have one, but I just mentioned, do you have a post? And he said, yeah, actually, I do. And I think he had it scheduled for Thursday, but it was complete. And so he let me just go into his WordPress and just pull it straight from there and threw in the HTML. And we posted it. And then within a half hour, it had received a lot of traction. It's a great post. It's just a series of questions related to life. And I thought it was kind of a neat story behind that, and glad that it got some good traction on our site.
Amazing. This guy travels the country with completed blog posts stored up in cash that he can hand out to asking organizations.
Right.
Another one on the pro-life subject, Tony, you put forward the Triple E video, and the title was Defending the Unborn Through Art, at a strategic time.
Yeah. Yeah, Triple E has a song on his album called Beautiful Life. The track is called Beautiful Life, and it immediately struck me when I listened to the album first time through. I realized the strategic significance of that song. He's trying to reach into those dark places where the decision to have an abortion is made, oftentimes, you know, without the input of pastors or parents or friends. It's oftentimes a decision that's made in the dark, and he wrote a song that can really shine light in situations that are very dark, and that's a great example of how an artist can speak the truth in such a way that's strategic and preventative when it comes to saving the life of the unborn.
One more to ask you about, Tony. We had an email come through from a publisher mentioning a new book, and you paired that together with one of our female writers for a really helpful post.
Yeah, Rosemarie Miller has a new book called Nothing is Impossible with God, and we wanted to just, you know, pull one of our female bloggers in to, you know, take a look at the book and see if it was worth spreading, and if so, to write a blog post. And so we contacted Christine Hoover, who's a church planter's wife in Virginia, and she wrote a blog for us called No Longer Orphans, where she essentially just went through and found a couple of the points in the book that she really resonated with and pulled those out as quotes and provided us a blog post so we could promote the book, get a blog post from her, and it worked really well.
Yeah, those connections are really sweet when they happen that way.
Yeah.
David, you had a couple posts recently that were really important that were kind of connected on one was a kind of a tech connection with the iPhone 5 being released, and the other was more of a important political international situation. Can you comment about those and just tell us first about the iPhone 1 and then about the post about how Jesus is different from Muhammad?
Yeah, well, the release of a new iPhone brings to mind John's little unplanned, unscripted word in the 2011 biographical message about Robert Murray M'Cheyne about his iPhone. He pulls his iPhone out, and he was talking about these little devices. We're so fascinated by the newness here and what a distraction they can be. And Jonathan mentioned on Tuesday that it was the release of the iPhone 5, and that got me to thinking, and we pulled that together. I think it was a late afternoon, early evening post on Tuesday, trying to stay on the cusp of what's going on.
We should say, too, iPhone 5 was released, and we unveiled our new app. So we have a couple of things.
That's right. Tell us about the app.
Well, that morning we did the post. We had our beta version, and then we have some other edits approved, some changes approved, mm-hmm. and then we did, I guess, our official launch of the new mm-hmm. Devotional app from Piper. So that, along with the iPhone 5 and then this post, was a great combo.
It was.
If you want to check out the app, it's called Solid Joys, and if you'll search the iTunes Store, is that what it's called?
That's right.
For John Piper or for Desiring God or for Solid Joys, you can download the free app there. And it has a daily devotional that is pulled from either our web content or from the Piper Trilogy, quote-unquote Trilogy, Desiring God, Pleasures of God, Future Grace. Multnomah Books has been really kind to partner with us in letting us pull excerpts from the book, those books, and it's short, and hopefully it's a kind of comprehensive in and of itself as a nugget to feed your joy for the day. So Solid Joys, do check that out. Okay. The other post is from Friday. Yeah. Tony started the conversation kind of on the newsroom floor here in the content room about what is there for us to say in relation to the ongoing, newly emerging kind of restlessness in the Muslim world and the riots. That immediately brought to mind a 2006 article that Pastor John had written. I think the article is called Being Mocked, The Essence of Christ's Work, Not Muhammad's.
That's right.
And so we pulled that together. Tony pulled a really helpful illustration that was provocative, and Jonathan coded that and got the word out on it, and that went out about noon on Friday.
That's right.
And hopefully that was a helpful word to kind of bring into discussion. There's some really, really provocative and helpful thoughts from Pastor Piper on that from several years ago, and we're able to repurpose it here related to this. A couple things to say in relation to podcasts we got coming. There, as always, there's the sermon podcast. Also, Tony, you got a podcast in the works.
Yeah, it's going to be called Authors on the Line. So it's just going to be a phone call / Skype type interview with authors, 30 minutes talking about a particular topic. Mm-hmm. And we've got three recorded, and hopefully by the end of this week, I'll have 7 total recorded. Hopefully, I'll be able to launch this sometime in October. So in the docket, we've got Michael Reeves on Delighting in the Trinity, looking more specifically at why the Trinitarian religion that we have, a Trinitarian God that we have, how he is distinct from other monotheistic, mono-person religions. And it's a fascinating, fascinating discussion. And Michael Reeves draws out a number of distinctions that is profound.
So the podcast will be called
Authors on the Line.
Outstanding.
Yeah, that's like the hope. That. So that's the at least that's what it is right now.
There was some discussion on that name too. That's behind the scenes stuff. We were trying to figure that out. And that's a good one, Tony.
Yeah. So trying to do, it's not just going to be a straight interview. It's going to be more of like an NPR / like Ken Myers, Mars Hill Audio Journal, kind of more narration from me, and then diving directly into a topic and really getting to
it's,
the point.
It's very well done. I'm excited to see that launch. So
thanks, man.
Look forward to that.
Another podcast we're going to try to breathe some new life in is Theology Refresh. Launched that about a year ago and have about 20 interviews or so that are there. Have some new interviews we've just done with Kevin DeYoung when he was in town, as well as an interview with David Platt and some others who will be in town for the national conference. Our designer's done some fresh branding, graphic work for that, and look for the relaunch here shortly of Theology Refresh. Another relaunch I'm excited about is this column called Sent, which has been... it's about a year old as well at the Desiring God blog, mainly through last fall. And it's posts that are oriented on mission and Christians thinking of themselves, where they are as sent for gospel advance purposes in their local context. So the kind of charter post on that series is called Let's Revise the Popular Phrase In But Not Of. The thought is that we shouldn't merely think of Christians as in the world but not of the world, as if we're trying to move ourselves toward not of the world. But the way Jesus does it in John 17 is starts with, you're not of the world, and you're being sent into the world. So for the progress and the motion and the movement to be toward the world based on gospel-centered, gospel-advancing purposes. This is not a capitulation to the world. This is not a compromise to the world. This is going in as light to save others from the darkness by God's grace and help. Excited about those. As always, some outstanding posts recently from Pastor Piper. One to check out is A Possible Marriage Saver in 9 Steps, mm-hmm. as well as The Pleasures of God audio and video that's now available from that August seminar. One last thing is put a word in for the sermon series that John Piper's working on right now. This is a kind of form of last will and testament from John Piper to Bethlehem Baptist Church. After 32 years, he's bringing together 10 or 11 big hallmarks, big trademarks of his pastoral ministry among the flock at Bethlehem. So far, it's been an outstanding series. The first one's called I Am Who I Am on Exodus 3 and on the existence of God. And then just this weekend, John preached on eternal security as a community project. Outstanding message as well. So you want to keep an eye on those messages as John, there's a lot going into those messages, 30 plus years of heart for the people and of rekindling some of those old themes. Well, guys, thanks for joining us on Behind the Blog, and we'll see you next time.